MVP, but are people sleeping on Lamar Jackson headed into this season? In the Windy City, the Bears have faith in Andy Dalton. Are these guys buying it? And Juju Smith-Schuster, 2 weeks before the season starts, doing the milk crate challenge, guys.
What is he thinking?
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. He's just barely doing it. Even though we had spotters, that's ridiculous. Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, Chris Broussard, Kevin Wilds. Nick, come on. If you're Juju, what are you doing?
Yeah, far safer for him to repeatedly get hit in the body and the head playing football than to take a few hurdles over some milk crates. Give me a break. Guy's a pro athlete. Professional athlete.
It's all fun and games.
Someone's going to put an eye out.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I knew Jenna was going to say that. Y'all are so whack.
Let us, we'll get to Juju in a second. We got to start this Tuesday morning talking quarterbacks. So ESPN came out with their predictions for this season's top 10. And look, their panel had Mahomes, at one, followed by Aaron Rodgers. Then look at the list. Russ, Allen, Dak, rounding out the top five. Super Bowl MVP, Tom Brady at six. Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Matt Stafford, and Justin Herbert rounding out your top 10. But let's focus on Tom Brady. Chris Broussard, I'll start with you. You okay with Brady being left out of the top five?
No, absolutely not. This is ridiculous, all right? And the disrespect for Tom Brady has to stop. You know what you're doing? You're motivating him, all right? He doesn't have to go looking for motivation anymore. It's all over the place. First, Nick Wright says he's only the 10th best player in the NFL. The players got him ranked 7th. And now this, you actually put him behind Dak Prescott? And I like Dak. But to think Dak Prescott coming off an ankle injury, coming off a shoulder injury, all right, in which he basically missed the entire training camp, is going to have a better year than Tom Brady? I won't go through all the other five quarterbacks, but Brady's going to win more games than Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. That's for sure. Maybe Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, we'll see. But that right there is going to make him better because his numbers are going to be good, too. There's this notion out there that Brady just rode the Tampa Bay defense to his 7th Super Bowl. And, yeah, the defense was phenomenal. I won't take anything away from them. But to act like Brady was a chump last year, he was 3rd in the league in yards per game passing. He was 2nd in the league in touchdown passes. I mean, what is not to like? And I'm telling you, he's going to have a great season. Father Time's going to catch him at some point. I get it. He's 44. But I'm betting it's next year, not this year. Yeah. His receiving core is going to be better. I think Antonio Brown is going to have a phenomenal season. He's trying to get that bag. You know that, Nick. He wants to prove he deserves another big payday. They got O.J. Howard back as a tight end to help the others. Yeah. And Gio Bernard in the backfield. That's their James White, all right? He's going to now have a check down guy out of the backfield. This is ridiculous. No way he shouldn't be in the top five.
All right. Well, before I get to my reaction to what Broussard said, if you're watching at home, and I assume you are, maybe you're streaming online somewhere, but wherever you are, grab a pencil and piece of paper or a pen and write this down. 1185 Avenue of the Americas, New York, New York. That's the mailing address where everyone can send me my apologies, because old Nick Wright, who had the audacity, just outrageous take that called Brady the 3rd best quarterback in the NFL. I went Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady. Oh, I was disrespectful. Oh, there's Nick Wright doubting the GOAT again. There's Nick Wright disrespecting Tom Brady again. And then his peers said, no, 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 Nick, that's exactly where we also have him as the 3rd best quarterback. And then the, you know, Broussard and Wilds' former colleagues at the other network, they said, hey, how about we put 5 guys ahead of him? How about we put Dak ahead of him? How about we put Josh Allen ahead of him? How about we put a guy he beat in a Super Bowl, Russell Wilson, ahead of him? Not to mention, of course, Rodgers and Mahomes. So everyone can send those apologies. I'm not a big fan of edible arrangements, but my wife and kids are. I'll take those as well and distribute them accordingly. Listen, I obviously had Brady third out of respect for what he has accomplished, but this is a slightly different list. It's not the best players, it is a projection. And I would have, I think, had, I don't know that I would have had Dak ahead of him, but I know I would have had Lamar ahead of him if we're projecting forward. So then you're still coming in sixth, like if we flip Dak and Lamar. And so, Wilds, you seem, you know, you're upset, and I understand that you're upset. I'm not sure why, because Tom Brady, I know you're still in denial about this, but he doesn't play for your team anymore. Your team's quarterbacks came, I think, 29th and 36th on this list, so that's fun for you as a Patriot fan. But what's the problem here, my friend?
Well, I have a few problems. One is that truth is the foundational bedrock of this show. And I hate to break it to everybody, you don't have to send your apologies to 1185 Avenue of the Americas, because we're not in the office anymore. We're all at our houses. So Nick is, that's the first untruthful thing Nick has said.
No, you do not.
And no one's going to send edible arrangements there. The strawberries would go bad. Here's my issue. I agree with Broussard that it's wildly disrespectful. Wildly disrespectful. Last year, the same list had Brady listed as the eighth best quarterback. So Tom Brady goes out, throws for 40 touchdowns, wins the Super Bowl, wins Super Bowl MVP, and the people who make the list said, fifth. So what do you need to do to move? Oh, no, he's sixth, excuse me. What do you need to do to crack the top five if winning the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl MVP
isn't
good
enough?
I'll play the game. I'll play the game. Maybe it's the leadership. Maybe there's a better leader out there, even though two of the guys are ahead of Brady, literally threatened to leave their teams. Meanwhile, Tom Brady is recruiting guys to go in and makes everybody better. Maybe it's arm strength. Maybe it's an arm strength thing. Dusty, can we throw up the graphic on how Tom Brady's arm has really suffered? Well, I don't know. He's had more air yards than everybody, had more passing touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes. What the heck, you guys? Is that a misprint? Should we fire Dusty? Nope, it's actually correct. And had more rushing TDs than Russ. That's a little bit of a bonus there. But if it's not leadership, and his arm is still lively, and he won the Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP, to me, it's a little bit of like LeBron after he won the finals in the bubble. So the Bucks deserve their respect, and Tom Brady deserves his respect too.
No, hold on a second. Wait a minute here. Hold on. There's so much of what you said there is insane, Wilds. First of all, you just dinged, I think, in passing, Russ and Rodgers for threatening to leave their team. Is my color off of my screen? Was that Tom Brady in a Patriots jersey, or was that him in a new jersey after he actually left his team? So the idea that those guys should be penalized for doing literally what he did is an absurdity. The other thing is, I'm not going to call you fake news, but that first stat, the only stat Brady led the league in, is a fake stat. Air yards per pass, the hell you talking about? The actual stat is air yards per pass means nothing to me. Yards per pass, yards per attempt, he was 12th in the league. And Wilds, while he somehow found room for rushing touchdowns, as if that's something we really care about with Brady, what you conveniently left off was interceptions, where he was had the sixth most in football, not including the hat trick he threw in the second half of the NFC Championship game. And Broussard, you're mentioning, you're like, oh my God, he's third in the league in yards per game. Yes, in this exact same offense with the same weapons that established all-time great Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards the previous year. Let's not act like there is not a correlation between who he's throwing to and where he's playing and for whom he is playing and the volume numbers he put up last year, right? Like Jameis did have 30 touchdowns and 5,000 yards with the, I guess, slightly worse weapons, no Gronk, no AB, in the same offense, Broussard.
All right, Nick, you just spouted so much gibberish. I don't know where to begin. All right, let me try here. Number one, here's one word for you. Analytics. All right, come into the new world. Yeah, analytics. Yeah. A 10 air yards per pass is huge. All right, Wiles gets points for that. That's humongous. You should know this. Daryl Morey's your good friend. You should know analytics is legitimate. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you're going to bring up Jameis Winston. And notice how you threw out 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns. Yeah, you forgot the 30 interceptions, too. All right, Brady threw for 40 touchdowns
argument, so
and like 12,
it.
Yeah, 12 interceptions 12. And won the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. And Jameis had him at 7 and 9. So I'm just wondering what is the criteria for this? Like I said, Brady, he may not win more games than Mahomes and Rodgers and maybe Josh Allen. But he's going to have great numbers individually. He's going to win more games than Wilson and Prescott. So why in the world would you not have him ahead of those guys? This makes no sense.
Because here's why.
And I it can only be the age.
No, you know why you wouldn't have him ahead of Russell Wilson? Because he's not better than him. Like, ultimately, I understand that we try to work backwards on this stuff, but gun to your head, everyone on this panel knows in the year 2021, Russell Wilson is better than Tom Brady. Has he had a better career? No. Did he magically win the Super Bowl last year? No. But we know, you know it when you know it, and you know it. You know Russell Wilson's better than Tom Brady. And so, like, okay, that's fine. It's fine. I'm good. I'm curious what his adjusted completion percentage is. Wilds on the next graphic. I want to know that one, too.
Analytics, Nick.
Bringing these
analytics.
9 days. 9 days until old man Brady takes the field. Bucks begin their defense, title defense.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Drawing a blank.
Yeah.
I am drawing a blank as to why Juju Smith-Schuster stepped up for the Milk Crate Challenge. 2 weeks before the start of the Steelers season, look at Juju out here trying to perform this without killing himself. Broussard, Juju attempting the Milk Crate Challenge is blank.
Immature. Juju, come on.
My God.
I mean, I don't have to go over that. You signed a one-year, $8 million deal. You have not gotten your huge payday yet, and you're out there doing this. Not to mention that you just need to have a good year for your teammates, too. Pittsburgh, I think, is going to be sneaky good. They're going to be better than most people think, and Juju's a big part of that. Here's my suggestion. Remember a few years ago when Doc Rivers coached Big Baby Davis? And Big Baby had some bouts of immaturity, and Doc said, you know what? Let's start calling him Glenn. Because I think calling him Big Baby is helping him stay mature and act like a big baby.
This is a great take.
Well, Juju.
Amazing take.
Let's stop calling him Juju. He's a grown man making millions really of dollars take. A year.
Call him Glenn.
I'm going to start calling him John. His name is John.
Oh.
John Smith Schuster. I know it doesn't sound as hot as Juju, but I want John to stop doing this stuff. Just play football.
Okay. Great take.
And, right. and be the great guy
the
you
name,
are. But stop this.
John
the
Smith
name
Schuster.
Take John is a great take.
John Smith Schuster.
I was. Great. It was almost drowned out by all the old man yelling at a cloud that was surrounding the take. Listen, folks, concern trolling about this stuff. I'm going to fix your concern. People are like, oh, my God, do you realize how many hospitalizations and the hospital's already overrun? Here's the deal. Milk Crate Challenge, same thing as the folks that try to go Niagara Falls in a wheelbarrow or what are the, I don't know what it's called, a barrel. You're allowed to do it. Not wheelbarrow. That wouldn't make sense. You're allowed to do it. But no one's coming in after you to save you. You're allowed to do this, but if you get hurt, you can't go to the emergency room. You got to walk it off. That's first of all. Second of all, my answer is elite athleticism. Everyone is acting like Juju Smith-Schuster is not a professional athlete. They're like, oh, he could get hurt. Do you guys see the people next to him? Do you know what they're called? Spotters. You know what's also dangerous? Bench pressing 400 pounds. Guess what, NFL guys, when they do it, they have spotters. You know what's super dangerous? What the women gymnastics Olympic team does. Guess what they have? Spotters. They're all elite athletes. The idea that this is some crazy dangerous thing that he shouldn't be doing. Are you guys, do you guys know what he does for a living? He literally does things more dangerous than this every single day. There's some jealousy maybe amongst my panelists because they can't do this and they think it's dangerous.
Wow.
It's not dangerous for him. It's his lead
totally
athleticism. Okay, Jenna, I told you, you do it, I'll do
Wild.
It.
Oh, Wild's got a milk crate right here that he puts his feet on. Just one.
Uh-oh.
Just
uh-oh.
You
one,
need 44
uh-oh.
More. Okay.
No, no testing, Nick.
I don't even know. I don't drink that much milk. I'm a dairy guy. Hey, all right. So my answer is I want Tomlin to rescind the TikTok ban. So here's the thing. Tomlin said, no more dancing, Juju. You're a distraction. So Juju's like, all right, I'm gonna go viral one way or another, coach. So I think Tomlin has to look at the, rescind the TikTok ban, realize just like the plot of, I think, Footloose, Jenna, where it's like, you know what? Dancing's not so bad. It's okay. We're not going to outlaw it in the town. Is that Footloose? I think. Okay. So dancing is in.
Great
the Milk Crate Challenge is out. Savvy move by John here to do something more distracting than dancing to get the dancing ban rescinded.
I love
very
it.
Very great reference,
all the takes, Wiles. I think.
Underrated movie.
We're interested.
Footloose was great.
Yeah, it was good.
I know it's before all your time.
Should we talk about movies
was
from the 80s? Because I could do that.
No. Okay. No.
We got to move on.
Run the animation.
We'll set Juju. We'll set John Smith Schuster aside
for this
for just
close
a second.
To a Prince
talk
of
some
Tide
Chicago Bears.
John Smith Schuster.
That's great.
All right, let's run the no huddle. Start in Indy, where yesterday the Colts placed quarterback Carson Wentz on the reserve COVID-19 list, meaning Wentz will be out of the facility for 5 days if he continues to test negative and is asymptomatic. Colts host the Seahawks to open the season on Fox in just 12 days. Hey, Broussard, is it a big deal for Wentz to miss even more time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is obviously supposed to be his resurrection year. He's reunited with Frank Reich. They're expecting big things in Indianapolis. And he's missed almost all of training camp with the foot injury that requires surgery. And now he's out this week. He'll basically get a week, maybe even a short week, to prepare for their first game against Seattle. So this is big. But there's a second reason it's big, too. Because I've heard from some former NFL players who have said, look, when your quarterback is not vaccinated, it's a problem. And it could be a big problem once the game starts. I'm not going to get on a soapbox about the health reasons why you should get vaccinated and all that. But for football reasons, this could be big because if your quarterback misses a game or two during the season, that maybe costs your team a game, costs your team a playoff berth. That won't sit well with guys in the locker room. And remember, you also could have a game be forfeited because of COVID. So if your quarterback gets COVID, you have to forfeit a game. You lose paychecks. Guys are going to be looking at him sideways. This is what former players have said, that guys will look at him sideways if that happens. So this could cause dissension in a locker room potentially.
Yeah, and at some point, you've got to ask yourself, is Carson Wentz worth the trouble? He is fragile physically. He's been fragile emotionally. One of the reasons I would argue the Colts weren't the team that just traded for Gardner Minshew was because, God forbid, Carson Wentz has to compete for a job. So that's why you have Jacob Eason and Sam Ehlinger, who have a career zero NFL pass attempts on their resume, as your only backups. And now he's been hurt already this camp, and now he's out with the COVID protocol, ostensibly not because he caught COVID, but because he's not vaccinated, so he's got to do the 5 days away from the team, similar to Cam's situation. So I do, though, Wilds, in relation to all of that, have a bit of an announcement. I have this morning liquidated all of my Ether, Rock, and CryptoPunks holdings and put all of that money in shorting the Indianapolis Colts. They are on their third string left tackle. T.Y. Hilton is dealing with a disc injury in his neck, which is they already don't have a bunch of wide receivers, and that could linger all year long. They might be starting Jacob Eason week one, shorting the Colts. Full official predictions come out Monday.
What are you selling?
But we are shorting the Colts, Wilds.
And you're selling what again?
It's in the crypto space, Jenna.
Crypto.
Ether Rock. I was an early adopter. Yeah.
Yeah, big
Ether pictures
rock.
Of rocks.
You have a nice one, too.
That's
gray. Woo. That's a sweet one, my friend. Okay, so here's the thing.
Thanks, Wes.
This is going to happen during the season. So please, quarterbacks, why don't you go get vaccinated? Cam was unvaccinated. He missed time. Kirk Cousins was unvaccinated. He missed time. Lamar was unvaccinated. He missed time. And now Carson Wentz unvaccinated. He missed time. So, guys, this is going to happen. In the season, you're going to miss times. And that's the most optimistic view. Please, for your own safety, guys, go get vaccinated. As an added benefit, maybe Kendall Hinton was released from the Broncos. Remember the guy who had to start a game for the Broncos because their entire quarterback room?
Oh, yeah.
He should take a little tour to the unvaccinated quarterback teams. Like, hey, you want me to start? Why don't you go get vaccinated? Because I'm out here. I'm ready to start a game, and it's going to be ugly. So Kendall Hinton could take a little world tour sponsored by, the CDC.
Pfizer.
And that is one to grow on. On to Chicago now, where starter Andy Dalton isn't looking over his shoulder at rookie Justin Fields, unless, of course, Fields is standing in back of him. The 11-year vet Dalton only focused on what he can do right now to help the team. Take a listen.
I've been a great opportunity right here. I knew that coming in that I'd get a chance to start here, and that's my focus is on this year. The rest of my career is going to take care of itself, but my focus on what I'm doing now, and this is a big year for me, and it's going to, for me, I've got to go just play like I know I can play.
All right, Wilds, what are the chances Dalton makes it through the season as the starter?
Oh, as the starter, I would say a 0% chance. But now that I saw that beard, I might move it up to about 5%. Here's the thing. This is directed, Broussard, at everyone who is up in arms saying that Justin Fields should start, that Andy Dalton doesn't even deserve a chance. Give Andy Dalton a shot. Worst case scenario, you Tom Savage him, he plays for the first half, and then you pull him. The last time, ask yourself this, Bears fans. Is Justin Fields and our offensive line as good as Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offensive line? Because in the playoffs last year, Aaron Donald, who was when it was healthy at the time, but then he got hurt, Aaron Donald in that Rams defense hit Russell Wilson 10 times and sacked him 5 times. It would be worse if you put a rookie out there. So start Andy Dalton, give Justin Fields
a Dalton sacrifice
to look around and get his feet wet. No, stop saying that. Justin Fields could learn. You don't have to face Aaron Donald your very first game. Not a sacrifice.
Yeah, just let's just send Dalton to the Wolves.
Stop. Wow. Not a sacrifice.
It does make some sense, right, though, Wilds, because look at Joe Burrow. All right, they put him out there behind that paper mache offensive line, and he gets hurt. You don't want that to happen to Justin Fields. Look, I'm not going to be surprised if Fields eventually is the starter. I actually expect it, but I think there's a solid chance that Dalton does get through the season. Number one, he's durable. He's only missed 11 games in his 10 years, all right? Number two, the Bears have designed, they got a pretty decent team. I know the offensive line is a wreck, but Allen Robinson's there, a great receiver. Their defense 2 years ago was legit, all right? They made the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years. If Dalton just plays decently, they actually could be in the playoff race. And Matt Nagy, here's the thing. He has every reason to start Justin Fields. One, he's looked maybe better than Dalton in the preseason. He's mobile. He's a high pick, so everybody wants to see him play. And it would be better for Nagy's job security. We know he's on the hot seat. What better insurance or buffer than to throw out a rookie? And if you struggle, you say, hey, he's a rookie. We got to develop him. That's why we're not winning. I give Matt Nagy credit for sticking with his plan to play Andy Dalton and not put Justin Fields out there prematurely. Oh. So if he stuck with it to this point, who's to say if they're winning, he won't stick with it throughout the season? So decent chance.
Nick? Okay, that is Broussard. It's Broussard's second day. Mark it down in the Broussard history books. His first truly awful take. The first truly indefensible take of the Broussard First Things First era just came out at 8:09 a.m. Eastern time on August 31st. There is a 0% chance that Andy Dalton makes it through the season. There is a far better chance that he does not make it through the first game than there is that he makes it through the season. And I'm not saying like Wilds is saying because Aaron Donald's going to decapitate him. I'm going to say because at halftime, that Matt Nagy might be like, let's go with Justin Fields. Let's go with Justin Fields. It is every once in a while in sports, we see someone is about to make a decision. Everyone agrees it's wrong. Why would you do it? And yet they make it. And then you're like, how could they defend? Maybe they know something we don't know. And then it blows up spectacular. You're like, nope, everyone was right. That's like remember when the Jags were like, hey, Blake Bortles, we're going to give you a contract extension. Everyone was like, no, don't do it, man. Don't do it. They're like, nope, we're going to do it. And then it blew up immediately. That's what this is. The idea that Broussard, it's not that people are like, Andy Dalton's not going to make it through the year because he's going to get injured. Andy Dalton's not going to make it through the year because he's been terrible for 5 years. It's been 5 years since Dalton was good. And the Bears, to your point, have been a playoff team 2 of the last 3 years. Fields is a better option. Everybody knows. Come on. It's Andy Dalton. It's a good beard. I wish I had that beard. That's it.
They did pay a pretty penny for him there in Chicago. They want to get some money's worth. Maybe they want to up his trade value just a little bit.
They like it.
Yeah. Trade him back to Dallas. We are talking Sixers star Ben Simmons this morning, soon to be former Sixers star Ben Simmons. That according to Shams, who reported this on the likelihood of a Simmons trade out of Philly. While the 76ers have told teams they are comfortable bringing Simmons back for the 2021-22 season, rival executives believe it's only a matter of time when, not if, the all-defensive team stalwart is moved. For now, all signs continue to point to Simmons' career in Philadelphia coming to an end. Broussard, you in or out on the Sixers needing to trade Simmons this offseason?
I'm in on this, all right? There's a lot of talk out there, a lot of noise out there surrounding this situation. There's talk that Ben Simmons wants out of Philadelphia just as much as they want to trade him. There's talk that he's not returning the calls of Joel Embiid, his co-superstar there in Philadelphia, and that he's not even, you know, returning anybody's calls within the organization. And there is news that maybe he won't even go to training camp. That's how badly he wants out. If there's truth to this noise, then you do have to move him. I get them not wanting to trade him for less than they should get for him, But you don't want him going into training camp when you've got designs on getting to the NBA Finals. And if he goes into training camp and is disgruntled and just brings everybody down with his attitude, and it almost becomes like a James Harden situation in Houston last year, that's not the way you want to start your season. And that would lower his trade value and what teams are willing to offer him even more. I get them wanting to get the great deal, and they want to hold out to get a Damian Lillard if he becomes available, or a Bradley Beal, and that is smart. But if it depends on Simmons' attitude. If he's going to come in next year and ball out and do what he does until he gets moved, that's fine. But if he comes in with an attitude and the noise is suggesting that he will, then I think, Nick, they're going to have to move him sooner rather than later.
Okay, so a few things here. One is, I don't know if he's going to come in with an attitude or not, but I would be shocked if the rumors about him holding out from training camp prove to be true. That is not the history of the player. That's not the history of the player's representation. We've never seen that. And there was not so quiet talk during the James Harden hold in, going out to the clubs, missing the beginning, all of that, of folks around Ben and around other league stars saying how unprofessional they thought that was. So I would be shocked if Ben takes that same path. Now, I do think it's true he wants out. And I think it's pretty true, clearly true, Philly would like to move him. But Sham's report talked about Minnesota and Toronto engaging. Minnesota's trying to engage without including Anthony Edwards. So it's like D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and what? And Toronto, if it's a package centered around Pascal Siakam, that ain't good enough. So I do think Philly is going to hold the line, Wilds. I think they are going to hold the line until maybe, I mean, they hope, obviously, Dame requests out. But if Dame doesn't request out, Bradley Beal's not a bad consolation prize. Ben and Bradley Beal make the exact same amount of money. And that's a trade, one could argue, it's one for one. The Wizards get Ben with 4 years left on his deal. Now that Russ is gone, right, he fits better on that team. You can kind of build around him because Ben and Russ didn't really make sense together on the same team. That's a real possibility. But Philly cannot trade Ben Simmons for 60 cents on the dollar for a D'Angelo Russell or Pascal Siakam package. You just can't do it. It'll set the franchise back years. And one other thing, just real quick, Embiid's only got 2 years left on his deal. Like, Daryl's got to be thinking, we can't run the risk of trading Ben Simmons 50 cents on the dollar because it doesn't fit with Embiid. Then we're not good enough, and Embiid starts wandering eyes. So this is a massive spot for them.
Yeah, so we all know what we want to happen. We need to stop the charade that either Philadelphia or Portland are going to advance any further than they historically have with the teams as they currently are built, and Ben and Dame should switch spots, Broussard. Portland needs a rebuild. Philly needs a remodel. We'll start with Portland. For the last 5 years, Portland's had 4 first-round exits, 1 conference finals sweep, and they're out of there. They didn't get markedly better. I think Larry Nance Jr. is a nice player. He's not punch you over the top. Chauncey's in there. I think Chauncey should build Portland just like he had the Pistons. On defense, which we know Ben likes, surround him with some guys. Let all 5 guys score in double figures. I don't think they're going to get like a monstrous star to score 30 points. Build them like the Pistons. Build a real defensive team. See if you can get Tybalt too. That would be a great start for Portland that needs to start over. And then when you talk about Dame, he needs to ask out. Because if the Ben Bradley Beal thing happens, and then Dame wants to go, where is he going? The Warriors? I mean, I guess so. The Lakers, I think, is fake. But I think Philly is a perfect, perfect spot for Dame. Attitude-wise, the Oakland-Philly connection feels like cousins on the coast. He's so loyal. He's got that sort of, like, hard-nosed, like, tough edge that I think Philly would just embrace. Also, Philly gets the 3-point shooting that they wanted. Daryl built the Rockets to bomb threes.
And then they get there, not shooting any threes. They shot the fifth fewest threes. Dame would come in and bomb threes. I think it would be the best for Dame. I think it'd be best for Ben. It'd be best for Portland in the long term. Be best for Philly in the short term. They would immediately start to contend with Brooklyn and Milwaukee if Dame was on that squad.
You're right, Wiles. I mean, Damian Lillard needs to go into Portland. Tell Neil O'Shea, look, I'm ready to move.
Yes.
All right, go get Ben Simmons. Yes. They can build around him and send me to Philadelphia. The problem is, I don't think Dame's going to do it. And I'm not sure how high, which is baffling to me, but I'm not sure how high Dame is on going to Philadelphia. The New York stuff is real. Like, he likes New York.
Okay.
Dame still, there's still a part of him, I'm told, that he wants to, still not high on joining somebody else and some other superstars, and it's not his team. He does kind of want to win the old-fashioned way, but he's not going to do that. He goes to New York, that's a lateral move. All right, you're not winning in New York with that squad. He needs to go to Philadelphia, but I think what he's going to do is start training camp in Portland. And there's talk that maybe at the trade deadline, I don't know, he might stay there all year. They go out early in the playoffs, as they typically do. And then next season, he wants a trade. But the Philadelphia thing might be out of possibility at that point.
All right, real quick. First of all, I know I've made a grievous error when the moment I finish talking, my phone just starts buzzing from four different people. I totally forgot Embiid signed his extension. So the 2 years he had left on his deal, add four more to it. So I screwed that one up. My apologies.
Mine was buzzing too, but it was my friend Lillard.
I mean, just so embarrassing. Dusty texts me. Our old friend Vinny Goodwill texts me. Someone with the Sixers texts me. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Nick, this is your job is to know these things. My apologies. Forgot Embiid signed the extension. All right, now, more importantly, all of us want the Dame thing to happen. While I think Philly can hold the line for now, I don't think they can hold the line for 365 days or 335 days, right? And I don't think Dame is asking out before the year. I don't know that he's asking out during the year. So if you're Philly, right. I know the Bradley Beal stuff has always been focused on, well, unless, you know, Beal's not asking out for now. I think Daryl needs to call up Washington and try to convince them, hey, you guys need to tell Bradley he should move on. Like, it's better because we talk about, Wilds, you talk about Portland being stuck. Washington is stuck just on a far lower tier.
Agreed.
And everybody likes Beal, but they are not they can barely compete to make the playoffs in the East. Portland's like, we want to make the conference finals more than once in a decade. So they're stuck similarly, but in a worse spot. And it's an easier trade to make. Because I think Ben and Dame, the Sixers have to add more stuff. They probably got to add either Tybal or Maxey and a pick. I think Ben for Beal can be one for one. You might say Beal right now has slightly higher like stock in the league, but Ben's younger and on a longer contract. So those two kind of wash. The money's the exact same. I know the goal was Damian Lillard, but what you don't want to do is shoot for the stars and end up with, as your buddy Bill Simmons would say, a Pascal Siakam poo-poo platter. At least just set your sights a little bit lower because I think with the way Daryl can construct a roster, Embiid plus Beal, you're at least clearly a top three team in the East and probably a couple breaks away from making a finals. It's not as good as Dame, but it might be more realistic than Dame. But I don't think you can just settle on D'Angelo Russell and picks or else you're in big trouble.
And you're all forgetting, easy commute, one short Acceleride between D.C. and Philly. I'm always looking at the logistics. Back here, first things first, we got Coach Mangini with us. What do we call it? Hot Coach Summer? We're winding down, Coach. Yeah. Always good now to see you, though. We're talking now.
Last day hot of coach, it, Jenna. Last day of Hot Coach Summer.
I forget.
Hot Coach Fall starts next.
Hot Coach Summer.
Luke, winding down
starts tomorrow. Yeah. Coach Autumn. We're talking quarterbacks this morning. ESPN came out with this list. It was a list of predictions for the season's top 10. Check out this panel. Mahomes, there he is, all by his lonesome at one, followed by Rodgers, Russ, Allen, Dak. They round out your top five. Then you got the GOAT, Tom Brady at six, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Matt Stafford, and Justin Herbert rounding out your top 10. Coach, we're going to get to you in a second. Nick, let me start with you. What do you make of the former MVP Lamar Jackson's ranking?
Here's a thought exercise. Has any player in NFL history ever accomplished more and been respected less than Lamar Jackson? Is he a perfect player? No. Has he struggled in the playoffs early in his career like the vast majority of quarterbacks? Yes. Does he deserve to be ranked behind Kyler Murray? You got to be bleeping kidding me. Lamar Jackson, I am not a huge quarterback wins guy, but it is part of the equation. He is 30-7 as a starter. That's remarkable. It's even more remarkable when you think of the fact, if you just remove the games he's played against the guy in the number one spot, he's 30-4 as a starter. Almost half his career losses come against the most talented player in league history, Patrick Mahomes. And I know folks, you know, like to pick at the playoff stuff and what he does poorly. And I understand that. But I think it's also fair to ask, is there another quarterback in the league that with the offense Baltimore has, with Greg Roman as the coordinator, with Willie Snead and Hollywood Brown being your top targets, could have had them, what was his record last year? 11-4. And the year before, 13-2. Like, are there many guys that in the regular season could do more than what he has done with that team? Kyler, who's ahead of him, all he's had is DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald. Now he gets A.J. Brown. So, like, I don't know why. I understand why Lamar's not ahead of the top guys. But having him behind Kyler and one could argue Dak is a bridge too far for me, Coach.
Well, again, Nick, you and I agree on some things and more things than I imagined going into this. His record is staggering, and his record is almost like the records that you see when guys are coming out of college, and that alone is really important. Now, when you look at his quarterback rating, that's very good. His completion percentage, that's very good. There's so, and then you factor in 2,000-yard seasons rushing as well. Now, you knock Greg Roman as a coordinator, but to me, part of the reason he's had the success he's had, actually a significant part of the reason, is because of Greg Roman. And Greg had Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, and this system couldn't be more perfect for what Lamar does and for what Lamar does. And it's creative in the running game. It's never been a great passing system, but it's played to a lot of Lamar's strengths. And my knock on Lamar has been, if the whole world knows you have to pass, if you're playing a guy like Patrick Mahomes, and that's the situation you're in, can you do it? And can you do it effectively? And that's where I think his development has not been as good as people have hoped.
Correct.
And I don't know how much of a jump he's going to continue to make there, but that's where he has to make a significant jump, because you can't sustain these rushing numbers. You can't sustain the volume of hits. I don't care how big you are. It's the saying, there's a lot of good young running quarterbacks, but there aren't very many good old ones, because the volume of hits eventually add up. But I do agree with you on his placement. He should be up two or three more spots. I'd argue he should be above Dak as well. And you could make a serious argument that he should be at least even with Josh Allen or above Josh Allen.
Yep.
Because his production over the course of their careers has been significantly better. So I don't think it's fair where he is. But I think the criticism of him not developing as a pure passer is valid, and it's something he's going to have to prove that he can overcome.
Well, you hit it on the head, Coach. I think the reason, remember, this is a projection. This is not based on what he's done in the past, not based on who is better at this very moment. but a projection. And there's a skepticism around the league, with people in the league, media. Obviously, this was ESPN, so it was media, about how long a quarterback who is primarily a runner can last. And I have to admit, I'm in that band. I'm skeptical about it. And the hits, he's done a great job of avoiding really big hits. But can you keep doing that? You know, when that 4.340 becomes a 4.440, you know, then the shots that you were avoiding, you're now catching. And he declined as a passer last year. I think he's a better passer than people give him credit for. But this year, already, Hollywood Brown just returns from injury. Sammy Watkins is already banged up. And the rookie Rashad Bateman that they're expecting a lot from is out for a few weeks. So who is he going to throw to? If he just continues to throw to the tight ends, then people are going to underrate him. And the league is going to get closer and closer to figuring him out. So I think, Nick, that's where this stems from.
But so a couple things. You mentioned when the 4.4 or 4.340 becomes a 4.540. This is a projection, but it's not a projection for 2025. It's a projection for this year. And I agree, I think the Lamar Jackson commentary is usually missing a beat because, and I've said this many times, I'll say it again, some of the criticism of him early on was not only so clearly wrong, but it was being made by some of the worst people in the business that nobody wants to be lumped in with them. So now they've gone sometimes too far in the other direction and ignore some of his flaws. And there are flaws. But Wilds, because sometimes you can help me understand things. Like sometimes I'm almost too far in the weeds. Why is there seemingly so much more faith that Josh Allen's one great year, that's who he's going to be moving forward? Josh Allen was awful as a rookie, mediocre as a second-year player, mediocre as a college player, and then was amazing last year. Lamar's amazing year was better than Josh Allen's amazing year. Lamar's amazing year, his team went 14-2 and he won a unanimous MVP. His other 2 years were clearly better than Josh Allen's other 2 years. Yet Josh Allen gets the second best contract in sports history and very few people criticize it. Like, yep, got to do it. Lamar hasn't been paid. Lamar gets constantly rated beneath him. Meanwhile, Josh Allen's Stephon Diggs, has MC Cole Beasley, has these weapons. Like, why is America ready to say Josh Allen is the guy? Josh Allen, that's who he's going to be. But I need to see more from Lamar. Like, why?
Well, that's what I is it just the weapons? So, like, obviously, it's not a coincidence that Stephon shows up and all of a sudden Josh Allen looks amazing. Stephon leads the league in yards. Right. Jake Kumerow is there, too, alongside MC Cole Beasley. So, Coach, my question to you is this. We look at the top 10 quarterbacks. All of those guys have not just good, they have great weapons around them. Maybe Tyreek's the best. Oh, no, Devontae's the best. You know who's unstoppable? DK Metcalf. Stephon Diggs led the league in yards. Oh, the Dak's got three number ones. Most guys have one. He's got three. We know Mike Evans is good. We know DeAndre Hopkins is good. And who's Lamar got? Mark Andrews and Sammy Watkins and Rashad Bateman, who was good at Minnesota, and hopefully he'll be good again. How much of Lamar's, let's say, lack of throwing success is because his number one receiver is ranked in like the 40s when you look at yards per game?
Well, to get to Nick's point, and then I'll come back to your point, Nick, I think that the difference is Josh Allen is showing growth and he's showing development, and Lamar took a step back in a lot of categories last year. So it's a little bit like when you buy stocks. Apple has record earnings and their stock goes down because people think, can he do it again? Can he maintain it? And then you've got some stocks that have no earnings but show a little bit of growth and they skyrocket. It's because you're betting on what's going to happen moving forward. And when the arrow's pointing up, people get excited about that. And to the point about not having weapons, I think, I believe, and I know that quarterbacks should be able to elevate the people around them. And I'm not taking anything away from having great weapons, but you want to see a constant elevation of the players that are around you. And when you have to start talking about he needs more weapons, he needs more weapons, it's the discussion we always have about Dak Prescott that frustrates me. If you are truly a franchise quarterback and a player in that position, the players around you are going to have numbers that are probably above what they should have because of the things that you can do. And we're not having that discussion with Lamar. We're having a very different discussion.
That's fair, but with that said, the patron saint of everyone on this show, except for me, Tom Brady, his last year in New England, when he didn't have the weapons, all of a sudden he stinks, team's not that good, he throws a pick six, lose playoff game, goes to Tampa, they have a ton of weapons, and they win the damn Super Bowl. But listen, Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson, and Brady are the only four quarterbacks in the league. I know it's unfair. I'm always unfair to Tom Brady.
You've got 20 years of data, which shows that he plays with guys that we took from a packing,
It's right. Randy Moss, Rob Gronkowski,
those two guys.
I agree. Brady needs more help. I agree. Early receivers. Troy Brown. I understand. Deion Branch, they're not good players. I understand. He never liked them. It's fine.
All right.
I watch a lot of you guys win games 17-14. Defense.
Travis
coach's defense
won the
game.
I mean, he's terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I need to get back to this list.
I mean, he just
in a little bit. All right, we got Coach Mangini back with us. Time to run the no huddle. We're starting Indy, where yesterday the Colts placed quarterback Carson Wentz on the reserve COVID-19 list, meaning Wentz can return to the facility in 5 days if he continues to test negative. And if he is asymptomatic, Colts host the Seahawks to open the season on Fox in just 12 days. Not a very timely time for him to go, which is not a great way to say that sentence. Broussard, is it a big deal for Wentz to miss even more time?
Absolutely, Jen. I mean, he's already missed most of training camp with his foot injury. Now he's going to get a week, maybe a short week, to prepare for the season opener. But there's more to this. He apparently is unvaccinated. Right, he's not the only one. Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, some other Kirk Cousins, other quarterbacks out there that aren't vaccinated. And I'd love to get your opinion on this, Coach. I've heard from former players that if this happens in the regular season, and certainly it's bad if a quarterback has to miss a game or two, you lose the game, maybe it costs you a playoff berth. But even beyond that, what if you have to forfeit the game and then the players on your team don't get their paychecks? That's what former players have said. That's when guys will start to look at these quarterbacks sideways and say, now you're costing me money, and it could cause dissension in the locker room. So, Coach, I think that's a very interesting point that some of these ex-players have made, and this is a big deal.
That's a huge point. You could cost somebody money in the short term. You could cost somebody money in the long term by not either winning the division, not qualifying for the playoffs, not having opportunities that you should have for something that's totally controllable. And everything the NFL is about avoiding self-inflicted wounds. And this is one of those things that's self-inflicted and totally controllable. And this is a guy that's had wrist fracture, rib fracture, ACL tear, LCL tear, a concussion, foot injury, vertebrae injury, right on down the line. And now you're going to miss more time for something that you can absolutely handle. And it's beyond frustrating. And it's going to be disappointing if games are missed or lost or whatever it ends up translating into.
And it'll probably be disappointing if games are played by Carson Wentz because he's not very good. But at some point, people have to ask, is he worth the trouble? He's fragile physically. He seems to be fragile mentally, as far as, I don't mean mental health, but I mean dealing with competition. Now we find out he's unvaccinated, so you have that to deal with. The Colts should have been the team that traded for Gardner Minshew, but God forbid the great Carson Wentz has to compete for a job. Listen, I am like an overzealous hedge fund, and Carson Wentz is my GameStop. I am shorting this team. They are on their third string left tackle. T.Y. Hilton's already dealing with an injury. Right now, Jacob Eason or Sam Ehlinger are going to be the starting quarterback in week one if Carson doesn't get back. I understand everyone likes Chris Ballard. Everyone likes Frank Reich. But one of the big things about them was offensive line. Quentin Nelson was hurt. They're on their third string left tackle. T.Y. Hilton's out. We don't know who's playing quarterback. It's all looking bad for the Colts right now, and Wentz is a big part of it. So, yeah, it's a big deal, Jenna.
All right. Moving on to Chicago. Starter Andy Dalton isn't looking over his shoulder at rookie Justin Fields, unless, of course, Fields is standing right behind him. Then he is looking over. The 11-year vet Dalton only focused on what he can do right now to help this Bears team. Take a listen.
I've been a great opportunity right here. I knew that coming in that I'd get a chance to start here, and that's my focus is on this year. The rest of my career is going to take care of itself, but you know, my focus on what I'm doing now, and you know, this is a big year for me, and it's going to, for me, I've got to go just play like I know I can play.
So, Kevin Wildes, what are the chances Dalton makes it through this season as the starter?
Oh, I'm saying 0% chance, but after I saw him with that beautiful beard, I'm moving it up to 3%. I think he should start week one, Coach, for one reason. Two words, Aaron Donald. I don't know why you would want Justin Fields to start his very first game out of Ohio State against the most dominating pass rush maybe in NFL history, at least singular. So here's the thing. Last time we saw a healthy Aaron Donald, he hit Russell Wilson 10 times. They sacked Russell Wilson 5 times. He didn't hit them all, but the defense did. So start Andy Dalton. You've just told me that Mac Jones, there's a tremendous amount for Mac Jones to learn just by watching. I think there's a tremendous amount for Justin Fields to learn by watching Andy Dalton go up against a great defense. I see little to no value in having Justin Fields start against the Rams.
The only value in having him start is he can actually run away from some of that pressure that's definitely going to be coming, and give him a chance from that perspective. And Andy Dalton is right. This is a tremendous opportunity for him. Unfortunately, last year was a tremendous opportunity for him in Dallas, where he could have established himself as you know, a legitimate starter. And I like Andy Dalton. I respect what he's done. But he, by far, has the shortest runway of any starting quarterback. And it's going to happen early in the season where he's probably replaced.
Yeah, it might happen within game one. There's 0% chance he makes it through the entire season. He could get, as Wild said earlier, Tom Savage replaced at halftime by the rookie they traded up for. In the Texans' case, it was Deshaun Watson, and that was after Calais Campbell had a hat trick of first half sacks on Tom Savage. But I want to go to Broussard, but quickly, Wild, I just want to make sure I fully understand the take. You're basically advocating you're just going to put Andy Dalton to the sacrifice of the Aaron Donald gods, right? Like, we know a quarterback's not making out of this game.
It felt a little like that, Wild.
I'm not saying that. What are you saying?
We saw Justin Fields get lit up in preseason where he didn't do the read correctly because he's a rookie and he's still learning, and he got blasted. And he got blasted by a guy not named Aaron Donald.
Absolutely blasted.
So Aaron Donald is going to feast. We talk about it all the time, Broussard. Do what your opponent doesn't want you to do. If it came out that the Bears were starting Justin Fields, I would love to be a fly on the wall to see what Aaron Donald thinks about playing a rookie quarterback in his very
first game.
Before
we give it to Broussard, hold on. Wilds, you're going to, when you go back and once the show's over in 22 minutes and you think back on things, I want you to replay what you just said there. That you think in the Rams front office and coaching room that there is a world that exists where they hear Andy Dalton's the starter and they're like, oh no, just what we were hoping to avoid. Those wily Chicago Bears got us. They're starting the red rifle. Damn it. What are we going to do here? Like, Broussard, what is he talking about?
Look, I'm like all of you in that I expect Justin Fields to be the starter at some point, but I'm not going to go zero like the rest of you. I think there's a chance that Andy Dalton does keep this job. All right, this is a team. Here's okay. why. Because Matt Nagy is on the hot seat. All right, the coach is on the hot seat. He has every reason to play Justin Fields now. All right, because he arguably looked better than Dalton in the preseason. He's clearly more mobile. He makes the offense more dynamic. And he's a built-in excuse. If you lose games, you say, hold up, he's a rookie. Of course we're struggling. Give us time. Give us at least next season to get Justin ready, and then we'll start winning games. To his credit, I give Nagy credit. He's not done any of that. He has gone with what was his plan to play Andy Dalton because he thinks it's best for the youngster's development. All right? He thinks that that'll be best for Justin Fields to carry the board, to watch a little bit before he's thrown in there. So if Dalton somehow plays decently and with that defense, they win some games and they're actually in the playoff hunt, why couldn't he keep Justin out for a little longer? So I think it's possible. I think zero is way too low. Way too low, Jenna.
Wow.
Chris, from a survival perspective, though, it's better to start for it. It's better to start poorly and finish strong. So if you think that guy's really going to give you a lift, if you start badly and finish it really well, then teams look like, oh, they're emerging. Let's give them another year, as opposed to the flip side.
That's fair.
Bears also spent a lot of money on Andy Dalton. They'd like to see some of that return. Talk some receivers now. ESPN predicted the Chiefs receiver Tyreek Hill will be the best at the position this season. Here was how the panel had the top five shaken out. Tyreek, Devontae, D-Hop, Stephon Diggs, and then Julio. Nick, you agree? You like the list?
Oh, I like the list, Jenna. And this list made something occur to me. So the Chiefs have the best quarterback, they have the best wide receiver, they have the best tight end. One could argue they have the best safety, shout out Honey Badger. I think they have the best coach at this point. Little shines off that Belichick star after last year. Huh? Everyone's just saying Brady, Brady, Brady. Bill, I guess, didn't do anything.
Tom Brady. So
coach, our official show predictions, set your watch to it, are coming out Monday morning. But I made a grievous error last year. I doubted Patrick Mahomes. I, in the official show predictions, predicted Mahomes would lose two games. He lost one game last year. I can't do it yet, but if you have... We're talking the regular season, buddy, so two games if you include Super Bowl.
My bad.
It's a good one, though. It's a good one.
Well, three.
Best quarterback, best wide receiver, best tight end, best coach. Feels like 20-0. Feels like an undefeated season. Ooh. And not the Patriots-style undefeated where you win all the games but the last one. But I'm just, Jenna likes when I say show me the lie. I feel like you got to put up the Chiefs schedule and show me the loss. Hard to find it. Oh, where's the loss? Don't think it's coming, buddy. I'm not ready to do it yet, coach. But it feels like 20-0 to me, buddy.
One.
Feels like it.
Might be week one. Lost might week be week one. Against the Browns. That's probably where the loss is going to come.
Wow.
Yeah, but in terms of having the best wide receiver, I think that's not necessarily a positive thing for me. but in terms of having the best wide receiver, I think Tyreek Hill is unbelievable from a catch and run perspective, from a vertical speed perspective, from the fact that he can break down and run those intermediate routes. There's not a lot that he can't do. But if you just look at the numbers, the guy had 40 less catches than DeAndre Hopkins last season. He didn't lead, or Devontae Adams, he didn't lead in any category at all. Not plus 20-yard catches, not touchdowns, not plus 40-yard catches, not longest catches, not yards. So I guess we're going to project out that he's going to lead in the category this year. He just hasn't done it.
Yeah. Well,
see, it's all about the eye of the beholder. I'm with you, Nick, in that I think Tyreek is going to have a spectacular season. And if this list was the most spectacular receiver, then I think that would be Hill this year, because I think Mahomes and that whole Chiefs team is coming out with a chip on their shoulder. So I'm predicting big plays from Tyreek, just flat out long pass catches, but also a lot of great runs after the catch that are dynamic and where he's living on the highlight reel. Okay, but to Coach's point, a lot of people are going to just look at the numbers, the targets, the receptions. He's not going to lead the league in receptions because all the other guys on that list don't have a Travis Kelce, who's the best tight end. I mean, Tyreek might not even lead his own team in receptions. All right, so that's something people are always going to hold against him. But I do think he'll be the most spectacular receiver, if not, in some people's eyes, the best this year.
I mean, Broussard, I hate to say this, but I agree with Nick. I am very bullish on the Chiefs. And, Nick, you forgot the main reason. One other thing, little wrinkle in the rules. When Mahomes throws an interception and people throw up the deuces to Tyreek, taunting penalty, 15 yards, Antoine Winfield. So that defense will be in a good spot. We got another 15-yard penalties as people throw up the deuces on
Mahomes
Tyreek.
Just a
little added
guy?
Benefit for you on Monday.
Hey, just real quick, America, if you want the Cliff's Notes of this segment, Wild's two quarterback takes are the Rams are afraid of Andy Dalton and Patrick Mahomes throws a lot of interceptions. You're just on fire there, Chief.
Know.
Great job.
Run it.
Great job.
Run it.
Unbelievable.
Time now for stories to start your morning, brought to you by Subway. Talking quarterbacks now. So ESPN comes out with their predictions for this season's top 10. And just like the top 10 that the players voted on, this panel had Mahomes at one, followed by Rodgers, then Russ, Allen, and Dak round out the top five. Super Bowl MVP Tom Brady at six, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Matt Stafford, and Justin Herbert rounding out your top 10. Nick, let's focus on Tom Brady. You okay with Brady being left out of the top five in the quarterback rankings for 2021?
Well, you know, as is often the case, I seem to have made a big mistake, and that mistake was giving Brady far too much credit. I did my own top 10. I had Brady's third best quarterback in football. But, you know, the people have spoken, the guys that cover the teams across the league, every single team, each and every day, and they said, nah, outside of the top five, and they make a compelling case. And now, do I think Brady deserves to be ahead of, you know, for example, Dak Prescott? Maybe, but I think he, you know, you can make the case that Lamar, who's behind him, should be ahead of Tom. Certainly, he's behind Mahomes and Rodgers. And even though I didn't have it quite like this, the more I think about it, it's very difficult to make in 2021, Brady over Russell Wilson argument. I know some will try to, but it's going to involve a lot of, you know, immeasurable intangibles, such as the temperature of the meeting room gets to a crisp, perfect 68 degrees the moment he walks in. And the men who and women who mow the fields, they take their job so much more seriously because Tom Brady and his perfect dimpled chin walks through the door. Suppose when Jameis was out there, they were over watering the field. It was just a slosh pit out there. So, yeah, I think they got it about right. And I'm ready for apologies or edible arrangements or what are those nice Sherry's berries, chocolate covered strawberries. Oh. Those can all be sent to me. You can get them at 1185 6th Avenue. We'd be forwarded into my home. Because a lot of people called, oh, Nick Wright, you're a hater. Nick Wright, bitter about the Super Bowl. That's why I had Brady third. But, you know, ESPN as a collective had him sixth. So I think they may be a little too low for Brady, but about right. I think it's about fair, Broussard.
No apologies, Nick. Just correction. All right. And I got to say this before I correct some of the stuff you said. This list, I didn't think it was possible, but this list by ESPN is even more disrespectful than your list was to Tom Brady when you had him ranked 10th as the best, 10th best player in the league. So, this is ridiculous. Yeah. All right, what is the criteria? I don't know. Did they just go with all these analytics numbers? Because it certainly can't be winning an impact. Because last I checked, Tom Brady went to a 7-9-9 team where no one was raving about how great the roster was like they are now. He got a guy out of retirement. He got a guy that had been cut by the worst team in football, Leonard Fournette, and he got a guy nobody wanted in Antonio Brown and won the whole shebang. All right, and I get it. I guess they think Father Time will kick in at 44 years old. I'm willing to bet Father Time kicks in at 45. So this year, Tom Brady, who threw for the third most yards per game in the league last year, all right, who had the second most touchdown passes in the league last year, I'm willing to bet he's even better this year. He did all that without a training, without an offseason with his team. He did all of that with a new coach, with receivers he wasn't used to. Now he knows these guys. Now he's understands the offense fully. Now he's got Antonio Brown for the entire season playing to prove that he's still a top-flight receiver and can deserve a big payday. He's got O.J. Howard back to bolster an already great tight end core. He's got Giovanni Bernard as a check-down receiver out of the backfield like he had James White in New England. Oh, my God. It's going to be devastating this year. So this is entirely disrespectful to Tom Brady, Wilds, and ESPN. They're going to be sorry that they put this list out just like Nick is about his.
I 100% agree with you, Broussard. And, Nick, I will make this easy for you. Because your old friend LeBron James and Tom Brady are in the same GOAT boat. And after LeBron won the finals and he had the finals MVP trophy, what did he say? He's holding them both. He said, you know, Rob Pelinka wants his respect. The Lakers want their respect. And I want my darn respect, too. And collectively, all of sports media, and you were the first one in the parade. You're like, bah, 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 the respect parade. Because we all knew that we had disrespected LeBron by saying this player was better and this player was better, when at the end of the year, there was one guy holding both trophies. That just happened to Tom Brady. ESPN last year had Tom Brady as the eighth best quarterback. He wins the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl MVP. And they're like, huh, you know what? Let's move him up two spots. Let's put him one spot behind the guy who had his legs snapped and now has a shoulder injury. I like Dak. I think he's going to have a good year. But you should get some credit for, you know, winning the Super Bowl versus being injured for most of the year.
So just make sure I have this right. For both Broussard and Wilds, well, I'll direct this at you, Wilds. This boils down primarily, if not almost exclusively, to he finished the year holding both trophies, like LeBron. Super Bowl MVP.
It certainly helps.
The Lombardi Trophy, right? Okay. So, and LeBron did that, right, the couple years ago with the Lakers. Was there ever a moment, so if Brady hadn't won the Super Bowl, if they had, say, not made the Super Bowl, they had, say, been eliminated in the first round by Taylor Heinicke or Tyler Heinicke, you wouldn't be making this case. So the reason the LeBron argument was so bulletproof was not only had LeBron been clearly and demonstrably better than everyone for a decade, there's no Mahomes nipping at his heels, no Rodgers, but en route to the title, they were never in, it was never, oh man, if one possession goes differently, they lose. First round against Washington, 5-point game in the fourth quarter, and Washington's fourth string quarterback gets hurt. Second round against New Orleans, down a touchdown in the second half, and then Jared Cook fumbles the football. Third playoff game against Green Bay, 3 second half interceptions, Rodgers' chance to tie the game doesn't do it. It was in peril repeatedly. Now, they came through on the other side, but if your argument is, had they lost any of those games, it wouldn't be a discussion, then I think that goes in my favor. Yeah, they got it, and the ring will shine forever, but let's not act like it was a sure thing, no doubt, coast to a championship, Broussard.
Okay.
It's no, like first of all, college football I just told you, I
think out, maybe Tom Brady will be down. Win difference.
I told you, Nick, why I think he'll be better this year. The personnel around him is going to be even better. And you just made an argument for 2 minutes based on fiction. They didn't lose in the first round to Washington. All right? They did have that fumble against New Orleans. I mean, hey, it is what it is. Let's deal with reality, my man.
Yeah, well, that's it. They did.
Tom
they did.
Brady
I'm happy for him.
Loves
I'm
these lists. Wilds, you're right. You don't think he's in this lab right now thinking about how much this is motivating him? Broussard, it's great to have you. Day 2. We'll see you tomorrow.